Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 81 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the pumpkin-eating, autumn-grooving, September baby creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And today is the first day of fall! Yay! It's my favorite time of year. I know it's your favorite time of year too, because I see you all over the internet saying, yay, it's my favorite time of year. There's just something about fall. I find it so energizing. I'm not a big fan of hot weather, and we just had the craziest heat wave here in LA. It was so miserable and heavy and hot, and you know, that kind of heat creates a lethargy where you just don't even feel like moving, and your own body parts are sticking to your own body parts, and it's just like no fun. So when you're coming right off of that and going into like sweater weather, oh, it's just so exciting. I get the most done in my life in the fall, just naturally. The rest of the time of the year, I have to work at it a little bit harder. So happy equinox. Last night was technically the exact point on the wheel of the autumn equinox, and I suppose today is equal in length to last night. So it's still perfectly acceptable to be celebrating the autumn equinox today, or Maybon, if you want to call it Maybon. There are some people that are trying to rain on the Maybon parade right now. And last year I saw this too. Just, you know, some people doing posts about how it's not correct to call today Maybon. And I say bah to the party poopers who are doing that. It's certainly not incorrect. And it's just a tradition. It's just another holiday that brings so many people joy. So why raid on their parade with a bunch of nerdy, you know, it's not historically accurate to blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the entire Wiccan Wheel of the Year is not historically accurate, and you can just pick it apart. But it's a tradition now. It's a fairly new tradition, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. But it's not that new because it's been going on for quite a few decades now. It makes a lot of people happy. And I say you can just go blah, 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 blah to yourself over there, somewhere over there, and let my witchy Maybon-loving friends do their thing. Because there's just so much joy at this time of year, and I don't know. I just would hate to see my friends feel like they're being shamed out of celebrating Maybon. Celebrate it if you want to. Call it Maybon if you want to. Happy Maybon! I personally like to call this turn of the wheel autumn equinox because that is the technical correct term, but also because I don't ascribe any kind of religious connotation to it. I'm not Wiccan, but I do love Wiccans, and it is Wiccans who taught me about the Wheel of the Year. It was in reading about Wicca and watching YouTube videos about the wheel. It's how I learned about the wheel. It's how I fell in love with the wheel, which is one of my all-time favorite witchy things. I love the Wheel of the Year. So you can call the different sabbats or the different turns of the wheel. You can call them Lammas or Lunasad or Imbolc or Candlemas or Beltane or Ostara or whatever you want. I even renamed some of them. I started calling them transitions, you know. So right before the autumn equinox, we have the autumn transition because that's what resonates with me. But I do think the Wiccan Wheel of the Year, that there's a certain romanticism to those holidays. So I would hate to see that get shamed out of existence. Just a little rant to start the show off. You say potato, I say potato. You say tomato, I say tomato. Potato, potato, Maybon, automatic Equinox. Let's call the whole thing off. And I have been walking the Wheel of the Year long enough now to kind of be in a groove with it and with my own thing and with my own way of celebrating. Tanner, too, my son, he thinks we have to burn a stick of incense outside and stick it in the ground now for every Sabbat because he just liked it when we did that once. And he really is into the wind. That's a big thing with him. He usually watches this big eucalyptus tree we have out in the front yard to see what's going on, how much of a blustery day it is. So he likes to stick. I get these giant sticks of incense and he sticks them in the ground. And that's like his little Tanner tradition that he made up and that he likes to do. And that's what he thinks every single one of these turns of the wheel are all about. So we'll be doing that. But I usually, what I like to do is, for me, food is such a thing. So I like to do like a food-related thing that has to do with that turn of the wheel that's reflecting what's going on in nature at that time and what the natural foods are at that time. So, yes, pumpkin will be on the menu tonight. I usually do, and I always, not usually, do like an artsy craft that reflects the changing seasons. And then I do some psycho-spiritual work, which is really, it's one of my primary preoccupations in life, that point where psychology and spirituality come together, and it has been for a couple of decades now. It's one of those things that used to really baffle the people I lived with or people who were close to me, my family. It was just like, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you spending so many hours, you know, and filling up so many notebooks? I have a coffin-sized footlocker. It's like an army footlocker that is filled with notebooks, all like diaries and journals and notes that I've taken on everything I've learned in the last whatever, however long. But it would just baffle them, like, why are you spending so much time doing this? You're not getting paid for it. It's, you know, I was just doing it for myself because I really threw myself into it with like all the nutty, obsessive passion of a mad scientist, even though it was really just for me. I had no intention of making a business out of it until only a couple years ago when I started talking about this stuff on YouTube and found out that other people were curious about it. I was like, oh, really? You know, you have no idea what you're in for. And then I busted out the coffin of notebooks. And I was off and running and there was no stopping me. So after doing now this whole last year of the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year, I'm going to be insufferable with this stuff because I love it. I love it. I love leading that psycho-spiritual wheel of the year group. I've learned so much in this last year. This is actually the last stop in the wheel for the first turn of the wheel, officially doing it as a group. So now I have this structure in place and a metaphorical seasonal wheel that I can kind of hang the various healing and whatever modalities on according to how they correlate with the changing seasons. And if someone chooses to do the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year, my hope is that by the end of it, they'll not only have done a lot of work on themselves, but that they'll have a fairly comprehensive overview of the many psychological and spiritual teachings that we have at our disposal today. And the funny thing is about this work is that you can keep visiting it again and again and again, which is perfect because the wheel just keeps on turning. So that suits me just fine. I can't wait to take that was a little laugh cough. I've had the same chest cold now for a couple of weeks, and I have to cough. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. I'm at the tail end of it, and I have lots of energy, so it's really just very, very tail end of this weird chest cold that I had with a fever when it was like 200 degrees outside, which was so not fun. But anyway, what I was saying is I can't wait to take what I learned doing this last, or the first, I should say, year of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. I can't wait to take what I learned from working with the group and listening to, you know, the other people, and then to apply it to the program for round two. So I'm going to be spiffing things up this fall and obviously going in and fixing whatever typos there are and then fleshing out some of the ideas even further and then adding some new ones all together that just, you know, would like occur to me and I'd be like, damn, why didn't I include that? So I'm going to include that. But I said this in the newsletter last night. I hope you're on my newsletter. I hope you open it so you got this information. But in case you didn't, I'm going to repeat it here now because I want everybody to hear this because it's important to me that you take advantage of this if you care. I don't want anybody coming at me later and being like, why did you do this? I'm going to be raising the price of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. It's going to be more than double what it is. I wanted it to be $20 a module. As a thank you to all of those who have followed me, you know, for so long and who I've made friends with online. I know a lot of people struggle financially, myself included, so I just wanted to make it, like, as close to free as possible and super affordable. So I made each module $20 for this whole first year. You can still get the Autumn Equinox for $20. You can still go back through and get whatever one you want for $20. Or if you buy this one, or if you've bought any module in the past year, you still get the whole wheel for $20 a module, and I'll have a special little secret link for those of you that have already done that. But the price is going to double with the next round, which is starting with the next turn of the wheel, so Samhain, or what I call winter transition. For the general public or for any newcomers, it's going to be more than twice the price. So take advantage of that. If you haven't already bought a module, you might want to get this one so you can lock it in and lock in the whole year at $20 a module. You can save $40 if you buy the whole year in a day, if you buy that all in advance. And this is not my sales pitch. I just want to make sure that if you care, if this is something you've been thinking about doing, that you have that information. So nobody's surprised later or disappointed if it's out of your reach financially. So there's that. And then for today, for the first day of fall and the autumn equinox, we get two equinoxes every year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And these are the two points on the wheel that mark a time of equal day and equal night. So it's kind of special in that way. I did a show. It was actually around Easter. It was after the spring equinox, but I did a show called Astrotheology and the Original Passover. I did that earlier this year, and if you go to the Hippie Witch Radio tab of my website, www.joannadebow.com, if you go to that Hippie Witch Radio page and scroll down, you'll see a link to Astrotheology and the Original Passover if you want to, whatever, think more about the equinoxes and how we used to actually, how so many holidays and so many religious celebrations really have sprung out of astrotheology and these special times of year, these turns of the wheel. I like that episode a lot, and I think it really ties into the autumn equinox just as much as it would the spring, because they're very similar, don't you think? Equal day, equal night. One marks the coming of, you know, warmer weather, and one marks the coming of this wonderful, cool relief that is, I know, headed our way. It's not here yet, but I can feel a change in the air, so I'm excited about that. But whether you're talking about the autumn or spring equinox, you're talking about a time of balance, of so-called perfect balance between day and night. So what I like to do is think about how this might be reflected in our lives on a psycho-spiritual level. And the reason I say so-called perfect balance is because perfect balance in our personal or professional lives is really, it's just a myth, isn't it? I've noticed a trend in the past couple of years that has a lot of people I admire just tossing out this idea altogether, like the idea of leading a balanced life. They're just chucking the whole idea, and it's resulting shame because it's just, That's an idea that makes so many of us feel bad about ourselves. That whole superwoman complex that I was talking about last week. So tossing that out in favor of a more achievable state, a state like fulfillment. So instead of focusing on perfect balance in your life, how do you juggle your family and your career and your personal life and blah, 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 blah. Instead of worrying about that, you just focus on, am I fulfilled? Is my life fulfilling me? Am I on purpose? Is there joy? Is there peace in my life? Things like that. And it reminds me a little of what I was talking about last week when I was mentioning setting priorities in your life and then letting the other things in your life that they may be important but not as important. Everything can't be at the top of your priority list. So letting the ones that are lower down in a lower rung of the ladder, letting them fall into the good enough is good enough category. So no, you may not be able to dedicate a balanced amount of time to your work and home life. You may work most of the day and have very little time to devote to your family after hours. So how do you get, if not a sense of perfect balance, a sense of fulfillment and that all is right in your world? Maybe you delegate the housework to someone else so that you can devote those hours to quality family time, or maybe you find housework relaxing. Really? You do? I have a house in Glendale you might like to get your hands on if you're one of those people. But anyway, if you do happen to find housework relaxing and that it helps you to unwind after a long day at work so that you can then have the patience to listen, really listen to your wife or kids afterward, that might be a way that you get a sense of balance, so to speak, within, a sense of being okay, being right with yourself and not feeling so frazzled. Or maybe good enough is good enough for you and you don't mind a little bit of a mess. I'm kind of like that. Everyone's sense of equilibrium comes in a different package. So that's one way to think about balance. There are many, actually, there's all different ways of looking at this. You might think, which is why I like this approach, it's endlessly entertaining to me, just to whatever. I love the navel-gazing. I love metaphors and symbolism, and thinking about how the wheel is reflected in our lives. So you might think of it in a whole different way. You might think of the night as a metaphor for the feminine, for the receptive, nurturing, regenerative side of your nature. And then you might think of the day as a metaphor for your more masculine, outwardly projecting, task-oriented side. And there's a lot of value in giving room to both of these sides of your personality, giving room for both of them to exist, which I think is also another rockin' thing about the witchy community. There's a lot of focus on the masculine and the feminine, and how they're both equally important in both men and women. But again, must they exist in perfect balance for you to be a whole, healthy human? I don't think so. I myself have a lot of what might be considered masculine energy, probably more than most of my friends, I would say, just guessing. I look super girly. I have a funny girly voice. I love feminine things like platform high heels, which I can't wear as often as I'd like anymore, and patchouli-scented candles and fresh tuberose and nail polish and fashion magazines and all that good stuff. But I'm also quite masculine in the way that I speak and act in the world. I like people who talk in a straightforward, strong, guttural way, and then I really recoil when I hear someone talking in a very floofy, fluffy voice about exploring their feminine essence and worshiping the great goddess. That just does not resonate with me, and I see it resonating like gangbusters for the women all around me. So I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm missing that gene. And then of course you could argue all day long about what is truly feminine and what is truly masculine. You know, these are outside our sexual genital distinctions. They're really just cultural ideas. They're fluid and subjective, and as fun as they are to consider and as healing as they might even be to work with, I personally still prefer a whole other way of looking at the balance of night and day, and that involves something that you've probably heard me talk a lot about on this show, which is shadow work. And because the next turn of the wheel is Halloween, Samhain, Day of the Dead, what I like to call the winter transition, where we're transitioning from autumn into winter, I'm going to be talking a lot about shadow work. So I won't get too much into it today again. I did a lot of shows on that last October. I feel like I did 5 shows on shadow work. I have videos, if you go to my website, on the left-hand sidebar talking about shadow work. And it's just become a huge trend. It's really just exploded in the last year. I think Robert Ojeda has a lot to do with that. His work on shadow work is phenomenal. For me, I really started with, in terms of knowing the term shadow work, that really started with Debbie Ford. And I always have to give her credit because I learned so much from her. But even before I found Debbie Ford, somebody forced this book on me and I never gave it back because I don't even know this guy. I feel like he just came into my life to give me this book called Astrology for the Soul. I don't even remember the guy's name, but I can remember what he looked like. And he was a friend of a friend, and we were just hanging out in his apartment, and he was like, oh my gosh, you have to read this book. We must have been talking about, I don't know, astrology or something. We got on the subject, and he told me this book was going to blow my mind. And it totally blew my mind. And really, Jan Spiller, the author of Astrology for the Soul, she doesn't use the term shadow work. But now that I have studied shadow work and I understand what it is, I see that this book is largely to do with shadow work. And if you saw the post I did yesterday, I did a Book Nerd Weekly post on this book, Astrology for the Soul. You can probably see how crazy abused and in shreds my copy of this book is, because it's amazing. It is mind-blowing. I don't even know if I believe in everything that she talks about in this book, because a lot of it is based on past lives and reincarnation. She holds the same belief that Robert Ojeda does. And you would think at this point I would just say, yes, fine, reincarnation is real, because so many people that I learn from and whose work I enjoy, they are adamant about it. But I don't know. I think it's a very, very, very strong possibility, but I think there are other strong possibilities, like us tapping into the collective consciousness or ancestral memory. Those seem equally viable to me. So I don't know. I don't like to make any, I guess I'm just not a big believer, and I like to keep my mind a little bit open to that. But if you are like me and you think like that, you still can get so much out of this book. And it has a lot to do with what I'm talking about today, about equal day and equal night and bringing your personality into balance, because the entire focus of this book is on the nodes, how they relate to the moon when you're born. So your sign in this book is not going to be your sun sign or your ascendant or your moon sign. It's going to be your north node, and there's a little chart in the beginning that will show you what that is. And your north node represents the qualities, the attributes in your personality that you need to develop. And then on the opposite side of the scale, so let's say you're a Libra north node, whatever is on the flip side of the astrological chart, I think that would be Aries, I believe, that represents your south node, and those are the tendencies that you need to leave behind and to bring your personality into balance. So your past life tendencies, the qualities that you developed lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, supposedly, these are strengths that you have, your gifts that have become weaknesses. It's become your comfort zone, and they've developed in excess to the point that they no longer work for you. So maybe you've got like too much sun. Your north node is all about this lifetime and the qualities that you need to develop, developing new ways of being in the world. That will be, or at least from my experience with this book, they will be extremely uncomfortable and challenging at first, learning how to develop these new qualities. But then that is where the reward lies. That is where you're set up to win every time, as she put it, if you can take action in that direction. And in the introduction to this book, she talks about how it's a little bit like a pendulum swinging. And to really get the swing going and have it to where it can finally settle in the middle in a balanced position, you really need to favor the north node more because those qualities are harder to develop. So you need the pendulum to swing way in that direction to develop those qualities. And I don't know if you're still with me here because I feel like I'm going in a lot of different directions, but you can probably tell that I'm very passionate about this. So let me give you an example. If your north node is in Libra, that does not mean, again, repeating, that's not your sun sign or your moon sign. it is where your north node is in position. And it's like a whole like year and a half long chunk of time, depending on like the year you were born. That's what dictates, you know, what your north node would be. So you got to get the book to look in the index to see what yours is. But if yours is in Libra, the tendencies that you need to leave behind, the ones that you've kind of overdeveloped in your past lives, would be impulsiveness, thoughtless self-assertion, lack of awareness of others' needs for support, self-centeredness, selfishness, lack of good judgment regarding money, expecting others to be like oneself, indifference to how one is seen by others, resistance to compromise, outbursts of anger, overconcern with survival. So those aren't very flattering, that list of characteristics, and that is why several people who I've given this book to, when they look themselves up, they're so excited because we all love to look ourselves up in astrology books, and then they just want to like fling it across the room like a hot potato because it's very confrontational and upsetting. And in every case I've seen, it really hits the nail on the head. So it's like your shadow just being like, ha, like right in your face. And that can be hard for some people. But on the flip side of that, when you focus on the attributes to develop, if you're a Libra, according to this book, work in these areas can help uncover hidden gifts and talents and bring your personality into balance. So those would be cooperation, diplomacy and tact, increasing awareness of others' needs, selflessness, giving support without expecting reciprocity, creating win-win situations, sharing, seeing things through another's eyes, and communicating self-identity. And then she devotes like a whole big in-depth, awesome chapter to each sign. It's super fascinating. I'm not getting paid to promote these books to you. I keep saying I'm going to get an Amazon affiliate account one of these days because people keep buying the books I'm recommending. But I really just do it for a passion for this work. And I want you to know I'm really just recommending this to you out of passion. This is a book that has stayed with me for years. If you're interested in shadow work or if you're interested in bringing your personality more into balance and maybe bringing some of the shadowier sides, the night, so to speak, into balance with the day, your more outwardly projecting personality, if you want to bring that into balance for just a greater sense of peace and being right in the world, I think this book would be a really fun thing to look up. And then, of course, I'm telling everyone that tomorrow, September 24th, we are launching in the private group for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. Go to www.psychospiritualwheelofthe.com if you want to sign up, because tomorrow we are launching 30 days of strength training, and we are going to be using this push-pull dynamic of, you know, balance to make our lives strong. So we're going to be using what might be considered a day or masculine aspect of flexing our willpower to do one thing to make our lives strong each day. And then a more nurturing, or what might be considered a more feminine or nighttime aspect, to reward ourselves for getting that done. So it's a really cool interplay of exertion and receiving, action and allowing, flexing and effort and reward. So that's a really fun component to the Autumn Equinox module of the Psycho-Spiritual of the Year. It's not too late to hop on. I hope that you'll join us. And if not, who cares? I'll be here next Tuesday talking at you anyway. Happy first day of fall. Much love. Peace.